1. London, March 1822. Olmex. The word slipped out of Lady Alice Sinclair on a sigh of resignation that no one heard. She handed her Apollo gold cloak with plush trim over in exchange for a voucher and turned to peer into the ballroom that, as the season's opening event, was already packed with eager faces. Her mother, the Duchess of Carr, went immediately to stand by the side of one of the patronesses, trusting Alice to her sister's care. Alice was perfectly capable of seeing to herself, but the Duchess had yet to become enlightened to the fact. Lady Charlotte, her married sister older by 4 years, preceded Alice into the room. She turned back with an impatient gesture. "Are you coming, Alice? Dursted, you may go play cards if you wish. If I need you, I shall send word, but otherwise you may come and find us at 2 o'clock as usual." Charlotte moved forward, not waiting for an answer from her husband, and with the full expectation that her sister would follow. Alice did not bother to offer her brother-in-law a sympathetic look. She rather thought his immolation at his wife's altar was done willingly, and therefore she had little patience for him. Trailing Charlotte half-heartedly, Alice entered the ballroom, and was immediately engulfed by the crowd, which separated her from her sister. A voice pierced the din on her right, calling, "Lady Alice!" and she recognised the penetrating tone. Bracing herself, she turned to greet the childhood friend, if such a term could be used. "Barbara, how lovely to see you," she said, pasting on a smile. "Have you only just arrived in town?" Alice could not remember a time when she had not known Barbara Gower, nay, Bowlings. They had shared dancing lessons before their presentation, and their mothers had brought them on morning calls, assuming that a friendship would be the natural result. But it was hard to be friends with someone who was only nice to you because of your title. Barbara glanced over her shoulder at the man standing behind her. "Yes, quite. I was married recently, as you must know. Please allow me to present my husband, William Gower. Mr. Gower, this is Lady Alice Sinclair, the youngest daughter of the Duke of Carr." Mr. Gower offered a low, punctilious bow as she curtsied in return. Alice searched the crowd, hoping for the sight of a more promising acquaintance that might allow her to escape without appearing as though she were giving Barbara a cut. There was none. "May I offer you congratulations on your marriage?" she said instead. "You may. It was a magnificent ceremony. We were married in St. Paul's Cathedral with everyone who had come early to London in attendance, many of whom had journeyed just for the event. I was sorry to receive your regrets." "As was I to have to send them. I wish you every happiness for your future together, although I'm sure my wishes are not needed for such good fortune." Alice did not offer her reasons for not attending the wedding, because her excuse was admittedly flimsy. "Now, if you'll excuse me, I promised Charlotte I would not stray far." With a cordial nod, she effected her escape at last. If nothing else, Alice had been taught the skill of making a graceful exit. Charlotte had not waited for her, and Alice could only thank the heavens her sister had rediscovered her bosom friends, so they might fall into conversation and forget all but the latest on dit. Charlotte was much like her mother in that way. Alice ducked out of her sister's line of sight, satisfied to have made her escape. The room was crowded and warm. The candles had been lit in all the chandeliers above them, and 2 tables holding punch bowls and glasses of orgeat and lemonade were at one end. The lemonade was watery, and the orgeat was syrupy, and both were warm. Alice would have to go thirsty. She gave civil nods to the guests she knew as she walked by, friendly enough that they could not accuse her of being haughty, although people most certainly did, but distant enough that no one would think she was looking for company. She moved with purpose in the direction of the retiring room, although really she was just looking for a secluded enough place to take refuge from the crowds. At the last moment, she found an empty spot on the side of the room in one of the windowed alcoves, and she ducked into its shadow. The crowd milled and talked and danced in front of her, but there was no one else in the alcove with her.